Grant said. Listen to me. Would you rather risk bending the captain's order against communicating with the station, or risk riding down into that ocean with a crazy woman running the ship? The ship shuddered again. Grant thought he heard a hollow booming noise like distant thunder. You can't say that she's crazy, can I? You think a sane person would deliberately drive us through a storm like this? By the time Grant reported for duty on the bridge, the storm was mostly behind them. The ship still trembled from occasional gusts, but the big, heart-stopping plunges and yaws had stopped. Grant hooked up and linked with the generator and thrusters once more. Remembering what it was like to be connected while driving through the clouds, his cheeks reddened with shame. He glanced at Krebs, floating stern face behind him. She knows what it's like. She's connected with every system in the ship. Not an electron vibrates in this vessel without her knowing it, feeling it. No wonder she doesn't want to disconnect. No wonder she avoids sleep. Mizurawa and O'Hara unlinked and went to the food dispenser. Grant looked across at Carlstead, weaving slightly as he stood before his console, feet anchored in the floor loops. Dr. Carlstead? Krebs called. Grant felt an eerie tingle along his spine. Egon's right, he thought. It's as if she can't see us. Captain? Egon replied. Krebs focused her eyes on him. You will pilot the ship during this watch, in addition to monitoring the life support systems. I'm honored, Captain. If Krebs caught the sarcasm in Carlstead's voice, she gave no sign of it. Mr. Archer? Yes, ma'am. You will monitor the sensors in addition to the power and propulsion systems. Yes, Captain. Grant began adjusting his console, using the touchscreens to tap into the sensor network. The data flowed through his implanted biochips, through his nervous system and directly into his brain. His heart fluttered beneath his ribs. Once again, he could see the world outside the ship, hear the sighing wind whistling past, feel its fluttering flow along the ship's metal hull, touch the ocean waves as they undulated past far below, taste the flavor of an alien breeze rich with salts and compounds no human tongue had ever sampled. Lightning flared off on the horizon. Grant felt it as a tingle along his nerves. He did not need display screens or graphs or dials. Grant was not examining data. He was experiencing it, directly in the sense receptors in his brain, completely enveloped in the richness of this vast, unexplored world. From deep inside his subconscious, a voice spoke out. Be careful. Don't let all this overwhelm you. You've got to maintain control. Stay in charge of yourself. Don't get lost in the sensations. How does Zeb handle all this? Grant wondered. How can he stand at his console hour after hour and not completely immerse himself in this experience? How can he stay rational and calm when he can be a Jovian, breathing their air, seeing through their eyes? Teach me thy ways, O Lord, Grant prayed, and I will walk in your truth. She's asleep. Carlstead's whisper cut through Grant's inner turmoil. He blinked, turned to look at Egon two consoles away. It took a few heartbeats for Grant to remember where he was, who he was. With a shudder that was part lost joy, part desperate resolution, he forced the ship's sensations to a back corner of his mind. She's sleeping, Carlstead repeated, hiking a thumb past his shoulder. Grant saw that Krebs' eyes were closed. She was bobbing gently up by the overhead, still linked but apparently sound asleep. What dreams must she have, connected to the complete ship the way she is, Grant asked himself. Now's the time, Carlstead whispered, tapping at his console screens. Don't do it, Grant hissed. Carlstead shot him a pitying look, his fingers still playing on the touch screens.
Leviathan. Starving, dying, Leviathan drifted in the cold, empty abyss high above its usual level in the ocean. It took an effort of will to hold its parts together, to prevent them from spontaneously disintegrating. "We must stay together," Leviathan kept repeating. "If we break apart, each component of us will die, whether we bud or not. We will become food for the scavengers who wait below in the hot darkness of the depths. Together we might survive. If we can stay together long enough, we might find food." But the ocean was cold and barren at this level. Legends pictured monsters up in this frigid emptiness, slithering beasts that preyed on each other and any of Leviathan's kind foolish enough to drift this high. Leviathan thought that the legends were mere tales, stories flashed by elders to frighten young ones away from climbing too far from the safe levels of the sea. "It is time for us to return to the warmer region," Leviathan knew, but it could not force its flotation members to contract. They no longer had the strength to expel the gas that filled them. It took energy to make their muscles contract, and starving members had no energy to work with. Cold, cold and empty, Leviathan could sense its control of its outer members begin to fade. A unit of armored hide peeled away spontaneously. Instead of the promised joy of budding, Leviathan felt a wave of uncontrollable grief wash through its mind. "We are disintegrating. We will all die here, alone, never to bud. Never to generate new life." Unbidden, three of the flagella members broke loose, fluttering mindlessly in the frigid current. Leviathan realized that the end was near. Once the vital organ members dissociated, Leviathan's existence would be finished, without even the knowledge that its parts would generate new buds, create new members that would associate into offspring. The symmetry would be disrupted. The eternal cycle of life, budding new life, would end. It was not meant to be so, Leviathan knew. It had failed to maintain the symmetry. The sense organ shuddered, then began to quiver violently, the first step in its dissociation. There was nothing Leviathan could do to prevent it. Not now. And yet, the sense organ suddenly stopped fluttering and became still. It flashed a picture to Leviathan's brain. A monster, a long, flat, many-armed creature, was quietly slithering toward Leviathan, grasping its dissociated members in its wriggling tentacles and pushing them into a circular, snapping mouth ringed with sharp teeth. For a flash of a second, Leviathan thought its sensor member was hallucinating, hysterical on the edge of starvation and dissociation. But no, other sense members flashed the same picture. The creature was huge, almost as large as Leviathan itself, and it was nearly transparent, difficult to see until it was very close. It glided through the sea with hardly a ripple, making it impossible to detect at long range. It was one of the mindless beasts that the old legends warned of. It was trailing Leviathan, gobbling up its members as they dissociated and drifted helplessly in the cold abyss. It was heading for Leviathan itself, tentacles weaving, round-toothed ring mouths snapping open and shut, open and shut. Leviathan's first instinct was to flee, but in its weakened condition, could it outrun the scavenger? The monster slowed as it approached Leviathan, stretched out two of its longest tentacles and barely touched Leviathan's hide. Pain. Leviathan had never felt an electric shock before, but the jangling, burning pain of the monster's touch made Leviathan recoil instinctively. The monster pursued leisurely, in no hurry to do battle with Leviathan. It seemed content to wait until more of Leviathan's members dissociated. It was more of a scavenger than a predator, Leviathan thought. Weak, almost helpless, Leviathan studied the monster. Its main body was a broad, flat sheet, undulating like jelly. That gaping mouth was on the underside. Its top was studded with dome-like projections that must be sensory organs. Dozens of tentacles weaved and snaked all around the central body's periphery. Two of them were much longer than the others and ended in rounded knobs. Can all the tentacles cause pain when they touch? Leviathan wondered. Cautiously it backed away from the creature. The monster followed at the same pace, keeping its distance, waiting patiently. A new thought arose in Leviathan's mind. This monster could be food. The old legends pictured these beasts eating one another when they had no other food available.